The boys are talking sports on your drive into work. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Georges. Kucherov comes up to check in. Pieces loose. He shoots. He scores! Danny Briere weaves some magic again with Michael Bordeval and Dale Weiss. And it's Weiss who wins the game for Montreal.
Jenner shot it down the ice. Johansson couldn't pick it up and turning back to Bennett. Bennett gets it back center. Scores! First time in the game, Pittsburgh is in front. Brandon Sutter scores a high shot.
Beauchemin will toss it in. Solani goes to get it, feeds it to Beauchout near the point, a shot, score! Beauchemin rocket from the left point!
And that was night number one. Good morning, everybody. It is a Thursday, 6:07. Boomer along with Ryan Pinder. Three games, one goal games, and one overtime game already in the books. And we just got started. And as Warner told you yesterday, it was going to be an awful night for hockey.
He had told us a lot of things. He said, the Bruins will sweep the Wings. And then he said, the Wings will win in seven.
Oh, it's his calling card, is that he finds a way to throw out every prediction possible so that he can buoy himself by saying, well, no, because I remember I said Bruins in four.
I put them on the internet. So
and he can also say, no, I said Wings in seven. So last night, the Anaheim Ducks get, I was going to say a scare. They really didn't. It was a one-goal game, but they controlled this thing. The scare is the slap shot to the face by Ryan. It was taken by Ryan Getzlaff. Shot from Tyler Seguin hit him right in the mouth. Leaves the hockey game with 16 seconds left. But the Ducks strike first blood 4-3. They hold on after a 4-0 lead in the early part of the second period. They're up 1-0. Pittsburgh, they hold off a scare from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets were up 1-0 and 3-1 in this game before Brandon Sutter at the 8:18 mark of the third period pull ahead for good. And then in Tampa Bay, it was back and forth. The goaltending was not great, but the excitement was. The Lightning fall to the Habs on home ice by a score of 5-4 off the overtime winner from Dale Weiss. Last Hab to score that was his first ever playoff goal. Last Hab to get his first playoff goal as an overtime winner was our pal Brian Skrudland going back to game two of the finals against the Flames in 1986.
Weiss known for his fists more than his hands, but more than I think what people had characterized him as in Vancouver. He skates very well. He can play a regular shift. He's not the kind of guy where if he's not fighting, he's useless. And he proves it last night with the biggest goal of his career, to be sure.
Dale Weiss said after the game last night, feels like he's very blessed to be given the opportunity that he is by Michel Therrien. Said he doesn't think that John Tortorella actually even believes in fourth liners.
There you go.
From what his experience was playing for Torts in Vancouver.
Well, you have to play the Sedins for 24 minutes and get them all burnt out, so there's no time for Weiss there.
That is night number one. Plenty of storylines. The goaltending, like we say, not great. We'll get into it with the Habs and the Lightning. Okay. The Marc-Andre Fleury is still on the hot seat, although he shakes off some little bit of rust in the first period, but he looked good down the stretch. And then the Anaheim Ducks, we wondered yesterday about starting a rookie or putting a guy into his first NHL postseason play when you've got an experienced guy that you could throw in, but Frederik Andersen looked just fine, thank you very much, last night in getting the Ducks' victory. A handful of games will go tonight. Plenty of playoff talk. We'll be all over it for you this morning, as you would imagine. Friday means Stephen Brunt. It means, Thursday means, are we going to get Brunt? We should probably get Brunt today. We'll get Brunt today because we won't talk to him tomorrow. Ring Elliott's phone. Wake him up. And him on today.
Yeah.
And Eric Dehatchik, we're also going to chat with Mike Moore of the Calgary Hitmen as they have made a significant change to their squad. And we'll tell you what that is when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Interact with Boomer right now. Text 960-960 to sound off. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Playoff hockey underway last night on three fronts. Tampa Bay at home to Montreal Canadiens. The Habs have taken away home ice with a 5-4 victory. Pittsburgh, they're up 1-0.
Despite a bit of a scare there, holy. Yeah,
as are the Anaheim Ducks. All one-goal games last night.
23 goals, Mr. Molberg.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a lot of netminders in the Stars last night.
I think it'll come around. First night, nerves, jitters, because the one thing we seem to know about the playoffs is that it does come down to goaltending at some point.
Yeah, no, this isn't going to be a normal night, but just certainly lots of scores going on last night.
Yeah. What was it?
Scores!
The Habs go back and forth. 1-0 Tampa, 1-1. 2-1 Tampa, 2-2. 3-2 Habs, 3-3. It was a... Again, I don't know that either coach, certainly Steve Yzerman, did not look that impressed post-game after the winner went in from Dale Weiss. But it was exciting hockey, and that's what you want at this time of year, because it won't be long. Mark my words, it won't be long till there are members of the media that are bitching and moaning about the clutching, the grabbing. Oh, we're blocking shots, and oh, 18
shots.
That
was a penalty in the regular season.
You know what I mean? It'll be as soon as the LA Kings start to kind of settle in and do what they do, it's going to be a lot of moaning about the defensive style getting in. So enjoy it while it's there. Steven Stamkos scores twice. Still not enough as Tampa loses to Montreal. Anders Lindback, the goaltender in this one, because Ben Bishop is not ready to go. You can't help but wonder if maybe that's a lightning win if Bishop is in and is healthy.
I think so.
On one hand, it's 44. He still had 41 saves, but on the other hand, this is not the time for moral victories. This is the time for making saves. The Dale Weiss play is probably not his fault because both defensemen and a forward are below the goal line. And Luis is left all alone out in front. But he probably would like...
Was it the Eller goal?
Would like the Eller goal back.
Low glove, right?
But there again, Eller skates into the zone, comes across, is, you know, Bork plays, again, just a great decoy play there by Rennie Bork. But Eller skates into the zone, is allowed to, you know, track across and get a shot away. Not a lot of solid defensive play on that one. Giant is allowed to get his own rebound after Lindback makes the initial save. So I don't know how to necessarily feel about it, but you need better goaltending. You can't, whether it's his fault or not, five is probably about twice as many as you should be giving up.
James Myrtle made the point perfectly in a tweet. He said, I know it's tied and everything. This is when things were still 4-4 going to overtime, but I'm not sure about the Lightning's let's let Lindback face 50 shots strategy, which is that if they were going to win, Lindback was going to have to be a star, and that's asking a lot of a goalie. They really didn't shut things down defensively.
About half of the Lightning, if I'm not mistaken, were kind of in their first playoff action last night.
True.
JT Brown, Alex Killorn, Tyler Johnson, Radko Gudas. There was a ton of these guys that were in and feeling the pressure of the postseason. I think that's opening night jitters for them because this is not how they made hay during the regular season. They're a pretty good defensive club. They don't give up a ton. We saw that when they came through. So I think they'll be much better in game two.
The other thing of concern for Tampa, they're going to lose, I believe, Andre Palat with what they're calling an upper body injury, but it looked like it was right on his knee. This is totally the, speaking of like injury misdirection in the playoffs. Oh, yeah, it's upper body. Well, really? Because it looked like PK Subban went knee to knee with him.
Yeah.
So upper body, lower body, bad news. He didn't return, I don't believe, or he had one shift. He came back and did a lap, came off, and then was done for the night. And that's a significant contributor for that club. Yes, he's young. Yes, he's a rookie. But this is a very young team, and that's one of their top scorers.
One of the stories for the Habs coming in was obviously the emergence of Thomas Vanek. It took a little while for him to find a foothold and find a spot where it was a level of comfort within the lineup. And when Therrien moved the trio together of Max Pacioretty, David Desharnais, and Thomas Vanek is when they, as a trio, started to take off. Last night, they had 17 shots. 17 of the 44 shots. 7 from Vanek, 6 from Desharnais, and 4 from Pacioretty. So they were the force last night. Of course, Pacioretty had that great chance earlier in overtime off the 2-on-1 and put it off the bar. So Habs deserve to win this hockey game.
Yeah, I thought so.
They peppered the Lightning. I thought they were the better team last night. Steven Stamkos shows what he's all about. He is a star, and shows it with a pair of goals last night. The get on my back kind of a night from Steven Stamkos, even though it was not enough.
Good news for Montreal. They can be a little better still. They win the battle of the attrition in the sense that Tampa Bay has now lost a forward. It looks like they did not. And Carey Price, 4-on-25. He's going to settle down.
Sure he is.
I tweeted it, and it doesn't mean anything, but you know, he allowed more last night than he did in Sochi for the whole tournament. So clearly there's some room for improvement, albeit you know, apples and oranges in a big way.
Yeah, a fairly big way.
Yeah, I think I glossed that with a hashtag of stats that don't mean anything.
Yeah.
So there you are.
That was a big story of last night as well, I think, too. Well, at the same time, there will be some that won't necessarily get better. Just because it was opening night doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to improve. But
I think we saw Dale Weiss's ceiling last night.
Yeah, maybe.
That might be his only overtime game winner in the playoffs.
It just gets you warmed up for it. Tonight, four games. We'll tell you what they are all about and get you set for a busy show today. Ask Rhett, How Could I Forget, is also coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Todd Burse, the Sport Check Mother's Day walk and run is coming up. And as always, we're proud to be a part of this. It's a great event that comes up every Mother's Day. It gets bigger, it becomes more populated, and they do more and more in raising money for great causes. So Todd is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Mike Moore, the general manager of the Calgary Hitmen, who yesterday announced that they have parted ways with their head coach, Mike Williamson. Williamson has been the head coach for an extended period of time, and the team is not exercising the option year. So they will be looking for a new head coach after 5 years with Williamson at the controls. And, of course, prior to that, it was Dave Lowry, who now is calling the shots out in Victoria. So we'll see the other news there. Brent Kissio, associate coach, assistant coach Joel Otto, and Darcy Wakalik, goaltending coach, will remain with the team. But
so the bulk of the staff stays together, but the head guy takes the fall.
And it's tough because he's a good coach and he's a good guy. But between a trip to the Memorial Cup, he's had some teams that overachieved, maybe teams that also underachieved, and this year had to be the year. You put together a fantastic squad. You went out on the trade market. You added pieces.
When you trade your first rounder, that's to make a run, and they didn't make a run. And I don't know, the timing was kind of off. Like, they announced this just in the first period of the first playoff game. I don't know how above board that is. Like, oh, we'll just slide this through while everyone's watching game one. But at the same time, I worried about it when I came back from that holiday and they'd lost the series. Like, geez, I hope no one loses their job over this, because their expectations were sky high this year.
So Williamson out, new head coach on the way for the Calgary Hitmen, and we'll talk to Mike Moore, the GM, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, 6:21, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer is talking hockey right now. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It is 25 after 6. Hey! Thursday morning feels like a Friday. Of course, we are off tomorrow, as most are, for Good Friday.
Great Friday.
It's probably disrespectful. I shouldn't say that.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'll take the day off, though. Ask Rhett, Eric Dehatchik, Stephen Brunt, all coming up as we get into night number two of the postseason, which got underway last night. We've talked a lot about the Habs and Lightning. Of the other two, the Penguins home to the Columbus Blue Jackets and Dallas heading into Anaheim, anything specific of note that jumped out at you last night? It was difficult because I know the Pittsburgh game was tough to find.
Yes.
There was a lot of
people melting down on Twitter.
A lot of belly aching.
Hashtagging,
NHL has ruined it! This is the first night! How is this not on TV?
In fairness.
And you're like, it's day one. This is the only conflict you'll have the entire spring.
I guess, but in fairness, it's 2014.
It's true.
You're a professional sports league, and it was three games. Not 30, but three.
Here's the thing. They've broken up the series for the two rights holders in Canada, CBC and TSN, and it's the only conflict in time for the two CBC series. But CBC's got to have a channel somewhere. You could throw that on Newsnet or something, couldn't you? Or whatever their CBC News World.
Some country Canada or something where they're...
There's a channel on my TV that just is basically a slideshow of pictures of waterfalls. I wouldn't have been upset if that turned into a hockey game last night. I would have been able to live with that.
I have one that is, it's an aquarium channel.
Well, there you are. See?
But I don't know that CBC can just throw Sid the Kid on there.
What, the Christmas log? The Yule log channel? That could have turned into a hockey game.
On my provider, if I so choose at any given time, I can sit down and watch the Saskatchewan House of Commons.
Excuse me?
Yes. Wow. No other province, but the Saskatchewan legislature.
Wow.
I can watch that. And when it's not on, which is most of the time, it's Bars and Tone.
Have you adopted an MLA in Saskatchewan?
Not yet.
No, okay.
But see, here's the thing. That's why Sportsnet, when they take over.
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable.
Well, where are we going to put Sportsnet East, West, Central, Pacific, up, one. Down, Sportsnet down, Sportsnet up.
Sportsnet 360.
Sportsnet in or
City.
Out. Yeah.
All kinds of channels.
360, the whole one. Thing. So we'll take care of it.
So here's my, I'll ask you about yours, but I want to tell you first mine. Sitting at the table, got the laptop in front of me, Columbus, Pittsburgh on the laptop, TV just to the right, that's got the game, and then also you've got the Twitter right there to watch people melt down over things. How mm-hmm. did you manage a little of that Columbus-Pittsburgh game, or did you say, if it's not on, I'm not dealing with it?
I was streaming it for a while, but I can only focus on so much.
It's true.
And that's like, oh, I'd rather be on Kijiji shopping for classic cars or something right now. So I turned it off.
You do a lot of car perusing on the internet. Yeah. Parts or...
I'll never buy one, but I love looking.
Well, it's like Rhett. He comes in every day and he's like, hey, turn my computer on. And I have to log in for him because he doesn't understand. I think caps lock or something like that confuses him. And all he does is look at fishing ranches or these big log cabins on islands in the Pacific we've never heard of where you go fishing for a week that cost $10,000 for a day.
Fishing lodge.
A lodge. That's the one. What do they call it?
A ranch. We're going to go ranching this weekend.
Fishing ranch. I can't believe I said that. Oh, dear. We're going to hear that again.
But it was good.
A lodge, of course.
You're not wrong.
But no, he's like, oh, hey, I need to work here. Turn my computer on. And then all he does is go look at 45-pound salmon. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, we're going to talk about this today, Rhett?
The Blue Jackets did have leads for those of you like most of us that didn't spend a ton of time watching. 1-0 and 3-1 leads. In fact, when Jack Johnson scored at 6:20 of the first period, that was the first time in franchise history that the Blue Jackets had held a lead in the postseason.
Yeah, they still haven't got a win. They're 0-5.
Yeah. They were in their only other playoff appearance. They were swept in 4 straight and never held a lead. So,
the hands of the Wings in 0-9, I believe.
So congrats to the Blue Jackets on their first ever franchise lead in the postseason. It lasted for about 9 minutes. Jussi Jokinen tied it. Mark Letestu would score, the former Penguin. Then it was 3-1, but then Bo Bennett, Matt Niskanen, and Brandon Sutter in the third with the game winner. Pens take it by a score of 4-3.
This is going to be a really tough matchup for the Penguins because Columbus just works, and they were throwing bodies at everyone. They're going to make some mistakes. They're very young, but they've got, I would believe, a push or a win in the goaltending column, and they were all over Crosby last night.
Yeah,
he has the puck. There's a stick on him. Crosby didn't show up on the score sheet. Malkin, a bigger body, he can handle that a little, or he's more adept to maybe play through that stuff. But the game plan was very simple. They have adopted the Philadelphia model of 2 seasons ago, where everyone on the ice knows where Crosby is, and everyone gets a whack if he's within reach.
They're going to have to do something because straight up, they can't hang with the Penguins. They were 0-5 in the regular season against the Penguins, and now are 0-6 in their last 6 games.
Well, especially with Malkin back, and with Letang back, and Paul Martin back. Playing this team a month ago was a very different thing, and the last night was the first game for Malkin since March 23 when he suffered that foot issue in St. Louis, so that's a big ad for them.
Sergei Bobrovsky, 28 saves for Marc-Andre Fleury, allows 2 on 13 in the first and then another one in the second, but was perfect the rest of the way for a 31-save performance, so... At least for a 48-hour period, because, well, I guess more than that, Game 2 is on Saturday. They will Marc-Andre Fleury can leave the house and not have people pestering him about how he plays goal.
He will not get a truckload of manure dumped on his front lawn quite yet.
The other game, the late game, Anaheim taking on the Dallas Stars. This was all Ducks, 3-0 in the first period on goals by Palmieri, Getzlaff, and Matthew Perreault. They'd had another one on the power play early on, or I guess halfway through in the second, by Matt Bolesky to make it 4-0. And then slowly the Stars would chip away. Jamie Benn gets one, Colton Sevier, and Tyler Seguin So it makes it 4-3, but really this one was a lot of Ducks. Shots were even 35-35, but 13 of those 35 came in the third period as the Ducks were more or less willing to just kind of nail down things, although when you give up 13 in a frame, I guess you're like a few less shots on net, but they do take the one-goal lead and hang on to it. Game two goes Friday. Ryan Getzlaff took a shot with 16 seconds left. It was a slapper from Tyler Seguin. A rising shot hit him in the face, kind of on the side of the jaw. Bruce Boudreau afterwards, the head coach of the Ducks, saying that he's going to have a nasty gash and some stitches and swelling and all of that sort of thing, but it doesn't sound as though there's any worry of concussion or anything of that nature, because although, boy, you'll know more today, I would think, because you're going to have yourself a nice little headache.
Ooh, I just saw it there, because that was the late game. Yeah. I might have tucked in before the third period there. That doesn't look good. They're going to call it, by the way, a lower body injury, I'm told. So, you know, it's playoffs. Everyone's above board on injuries.
The game for Teemu Selanne becomes one of the, again, continues to show that he's one of the oldest players to ever play. The oldest, he was 43 years of age, 287 days. So
43 and 200
getting close to 40. Yeah. The last time someone that old, or the oldest since Chris Chelios did it back with the Red Wings, he was 47.
Yeah.
Which is it's a lot of hockey.
Yeah, that's out of Solani's reach.
And
prior to that, probably Gordie Howe.
How old do you think Gordie Howe was last time and this is postseason play?
Because he played till 55, right?
Gordie Howe's last postseason game was at 52 years of age.
Yeah, and he played WHA too, which they would not have counted in NHL stats. They've kind of pretended that league never existed. Yeah. I wish they'd adopt the stats or something.
Jacques Plante, Lester Patrick, and Johnny Bauer all played as 44-year-olds, so Teemu Selanne in that category.
So top 10, oldest guy ever. That's
there
impressive.
You go. That's the story there. So the series move on. Two home teams maintain home ice. And for the Habs, a big win. Of course, that battle for home ice came right down to the final game of the season. In fact, a shootout against the Washington Capitals, a win for the Lightning, secured them home ice. Didn't last very long.
I wonder, because we would all call Montreal a favorite in that series, just given Ben Bishop, right? I mean, if Ben Bishop's in there and you have home ice, okay, you're the high seed. Maybe we'll call you a slight favorite or it's a push. But with Bishop out, you have to think it's advantage Canadians heading in. All three of us picked Canadians to win this series yesterday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any of the teams that lost last night winning the series?
No.
Because if Anders Lindback is going to play like he did last night, Tampa's going to be in trouble. I mean, he made some big saves, but were there rebounds? Yes. Did he look comfortable on his posts? No. Were there a scramble in his crease at the end of every whistle in that zone? Yes. None of those things bode well. You can't continue to do those things and win hockey games, and they didn't win last night.
Yeah. Of the three, and I guess it depends when Bishop is back.
Because totally.
Because all of a sudden, Ben Bishop's going to have to be feeling a lot better today. Hey, Ben, you look great.
Ben, that elbow looks fantastic.
Benny, look at you. Good sleep, hey?
When'd you put that arm back on? It looks great.
No, not really. It's still swollen very soon. No, come on. Stop it. You look you look unbelievable.
And look how pale Anders Lindback is. Yeah, you look way healthier than he does.
So of the three teams that lost last night, I don't know in what sequential order I would put them, but maybe I would still put Tampa Bay as the most likely to come back, with Columbus second and I think Dallas in the third spot.
Yeah, it's interesting. The one thing about Dallas is a win in their next contest, they've stolen home ice. I don't think they're going to win that series. I didn't pick them to. But again, it's after one, everything looks one-sided, and who knows? These series could all be 1-1 heading into game three in another rink. So we'll see.
Tonight, as far as the schedule is concerned, four games.
Do you want me to tee these up in the chronological order?
Well, I suppose we can do that, and then we'll jump up. We'll come back with news of the day, other things taking place, and we can get more in depth. An old Patrick division, an old Norris division, and that's about it, because I don't know that the...
Expansion teams, the North Stars and Rockies going head-to-head?
That's right. Philadelphia and the New York Rangers. I said this when the Rangers came through town, and I feel the same way about Philadelphia. There's just kind of a mystique to me always about these teams.
Yeah.
They're so close in proximity. The fan bases hate each other.
I don't know if there's fan bases that would curse as much as these two.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like these are the angry bleep you fan bases.
I don't know if the Flyers are the number one hated rival necessarily. I still think Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, they hate each other. I think everybody hates Pittsburgh in that area.
And here's the thing. The Rangers have the Islanders and the Devils. If they're good, that's their biggest rival. But that said, these two markets hate each other. And remember, they played that outdoor game, and there was, I believe, a Rangers fan in Philly got beat up badly by like three or four Flyers fans. Like, this is not something where you're going to go to the enemy's building, wear your jersey, and feel comfortable.
Yeah. So Philly heads into New York tonight to take on the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. The other game, we'll see that Norris that I speak of, the Chicago Blackhawks, head into St. Louis to take on the Blues. The Blues, near the final days of the season, falling out of the number one spot in that division, and instead of playing Minnesota, now get Chicago. And I can't help but wonder if that's going to be the biggest story of the Blues season, is the collapse at the end when they lost six straight games, scored two goals in their final nine games or whatever, the two or less in their final nine games, if it might be their undoing. Because I don't know that they're getting by Chicago. I picked the Hawks, but even if they do get by Chicago, you got some really good hockey teams yet to play, and I just wonder what's going to be left of whoever comes out of that series.
Absolutely agree 100%. We did our fantasy draft, me and some buddies, the other night, and I stayed entirely away of drafting anyone in Chicago or St. Louis until the last round of the draft, just because I like both these teams, but I don't think I'm going to like what's left of one of these teams, that whoever wins this thing.
Yeah.
Not unlike San Jose, LA, but I've just got a weird feeling that it's about time for San Jose to do something here.
And we'll start to find out just how good that trade was for St. Louis in getting Ryan Miller. It's great that he came in and had, you know, facing 17, 19 shots a night and all of that. But much like Marc-Andre Fleury, and much like anybody who is going to be critiqued and judged, it now begins for Ryan Miller, because this is why he was brought in.
Yes, and you theoretically should have an edge in net if you're St. Louis. You should not. Corey Crawford won a cup? Yes. Was he stunning? Were they on his back the whole time? No. Did he have some great games? Yes. Did he have some forgettable ones? Absolutely.
No.
Chicago didn't win with goaltending last year. They won with three lines that could score, a phenomenal decor that can all skate. St. Louis, you're going to probably need Ryan Miller to steal one or two if you want to win this series.
Team that bowed out to the Hawks last year in round one was the Minnesota Wild. This year they get the Colorado Avalanche. They go at Pepsi Center tonight. It's a 7:30 start Mountain Time. And for the Avalanche, they're still awaiting the return of Matt Duchene. But it would seem like they should have plenty of offense, that notwithstanding, with Landeskog and MacKinnon and O'Reilly. And Paul Stastny has been good for them down the stretch. And for Minnesota, I guess the question is, who's your number one in terms of your netminder? Down into the final, because I was looking this morning, Brizgalov, as a member of the Wild, 6-0-3 with a 1.67 and a 929 save percentage. Now, you've also got Darcy Kemper in that mix. Somewhere in the back reaches, Nick Backstrom, I believe, still exists. But how do you not go with Ilya Brizgalov in this series, I would guess, if you're Mike Yeo, the head coach?
Well, what have you done for me lately? He's the guy that has.
Yeah.
As for Colorado, I believe Tyson Berry's got a bit of an issue health-wise as well. I don't know whether it's a game time or if he's going to necessarily miss some time. They've got a couple minor injuries. I would think Duchene's one of their more electric players. But again, if Colorado's been in a position to lose a player of any type, it's certainly a forward.
Yeah.
They got tons.
And then if there's a game you would ever not mind staying up for, it's the LA Kings and San Jose Sharks. I can't wait for it.
It's going to be unbelievable. Yeah. This series should be outstanding.
Should be terrific. The Sharks with home ice. The Kings have won the Cup in recent years. The San Jose Sharks have never been to a Cup final. Something we can talk about today, and I asked it to Hatchick yesterday. What team is facing its watershed? Whereas, if it doesn't happen now, when does the downturn of your trend or your arc start? And he brought up the San Jose Sharks.
Who are the Canucks of 2012?
Right.
You know, play well, get to the final, but since then, they've won one playoff game in nine tries.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to be that team? The one thing with the Sharks, I feel like last season was a renaissance. At the deadline, they move out.
Doug Murray.
Murray, Hanzus, and Klo.
Yeah.
And all of those guys were bigger bodies that did not skate that well, and all of them were replaced internally by younger guys who could really move. We've also seen Mark-Edward Vlasic put in a very strong performance at the Olympics. You never noticed him. He was always in the right spot, and the guy to his right was scoring every other shift, it seemed. So this is a team that's kind of flying under the radar, and I believe that last year's Sharks was the start of a new era. This wasn't Thornton and Marlowe so much as Couture, Pavelski, and those older guys moving into some more secondary roles.
Those are the four games on the cooker tonight. We'll obviously be walking through them a bunch this morning. Stephen Brunt, 7:20. The news of the day when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer is talking sports in the morning. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins winners last night. Hey Sid, what'd you think of the game?
Didn't start very well. Wasn't our best overall, but I thought in the second we stuck with it. Got some big power play goals, and our kill was huge there in the third and allowed us to get that big one from Sutsy. So I've got to learn from this one, but it's nice to have to learn from it when you win.
Yeah, Sutsy. Brandon Sutter gets Sutsy. The game winner. That sounds like us at the end of a show. How'd it go today?
Didn't start very well. Wasn't our best overall, but...
Yeah, you know. Didn't start right.
The difference is the Penguins ended well, at least. We usually don't really finish that well.
Oh, yeah, we finished strong.
So, what you want to talk about?
Hey, Sutsy.
There's so many ostriches.
Sutsy. Big goal at the end.
We can't sit in the box against these guys. They got too good of a power play, and they're a good team. They work hard, and we can't get frustrated. Just got to stay with our game, and even tonight we get down 3-1. I thought we did a pretty good job of staying with it. Obviously, a few penalties we don't want to take, but we can correct those.
There you have it. So the Penguins take their 1-0 series lead over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Game 2 at the Console Energy Center will go on Saturday. The Anaheim Ducks, they draw first blood against the Dallas Stars with a 4-3 win. It was a 4-0 lead that evaporated over the course of time, but was still a pretty impressive effort for the Anaheim Ducks. 13 third-period shots make it seem closer than it actually was for the Stars. Game 2 goes tomorrow, as does game number 2 in the Lightning and Habs series. First official game of the playoffs, the first overtime game of the playoffs. Dale Weiss gets the game-winning goal. Right, okay.
It's always helpful when sometimes you're, especially as a former play-by-play guy, pronunciation of a person's name is very important. So this one hardcore hockey fan has dedicated an entire YouTube page to helping us pronounce people's names incorrectly.
Right. So that was Dale...
Valery Nichushkin, very difficult. He had an interesting take on that as well.
I liked when the goal last night, Lars Eller, kind of the two-on-two break with
Rennie Barbecue.
Oh, yes.
Rennie Barbecue.
Rennie
Barbecue?
Barbecue.
Barracuda? Barbecue.
Q.
Who?
Rennie Barbecue.
All right.
Jonathan Toews. Jonathan Toews.
So stupid.
Jeremiah Jagger. Jeremiah Jagger.
Yes.
That's Jaromir Jagr. He's one of the greats of the game. A little respect.
Whiny Great Sky.
Oh.
Whiny Great Sky.
It's Wayne Gretzky.
Is that who that was supposed to
not,
be?
Whiny. Great Sky.
Great Sky.
Oh, Great Sky.
Great Sky. Yeah. Sounds like a First Nations last
name. I was going to say, suddenly Gretzky's from Hobima.
There you go.
And has played plays for Hobima up there. We're going to talk so much playoff hockey today. Obviously, I want to kind of focus on some of the other things that are happening out there. The Blue Jays snowed out. I remember it was about 3 days away from the opening day at Target Field in Minneapolis, and everything was snow covered. The field, the stands, everything. And I guess that's the thing about being in that area, is you're gonna get some snow.
If you had season tickets or tickets to yesterday's game, and you really wanted to go, let's say you drove down from Winnipeg,
right?
See the weather.
Oh, geez.
Would have been tough, right?
Yeah. I just think I'm going to barf.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how they felt in the Midwest.
Jason DeForest, tell me that's not Rhett Warner on your telephone.
Oh, my gosh. Has he lost his keypad again?
I seem to have forgotten my card.
It's 11 minutes early. Give him that.
So anyway, the Jays are set to play a doubleheader today.
Ari Dickey will start at 11:10. So... start working the fake cough. You can be home by noon as the boss sends you home, and you maybe only miss two, three innings. Ari Dickey, the first one, and then right-hander Dustin McGowan goes at 5:10. This was originally scheduled to be an early getaway day, and now it turns into the doubleheader. Still not that much warmer, but it won't be below zero. Looks like 4 to 6 degrees is the temperature in Mini. And when they got out of the Metrodome, you're like, yes, get rid of those stupid plastic bags in the outfield and all the memories of Kirby Puckett and those folded up seats in the end. Like, it was just a disaster. And they're building an outdoor stadium in Minneapolis. They're building a, what are they going to do in,
I still say
April, May.
It's still the right thing to do.
It is. And it's phenomenal in the middle of the summer.
Watching baseball indoors is the worst thing in the world.
Yes.
Even I went when I was down in Phoenix, went to a bunch of games, and it's so hot, you got to play at night. And I went to a matinee game.
Oh my gosh.
And they have to close the roof because it's too hot, and you can still just feel the heat radiating through that tin roof.
Yeah.
And the roof's closed, and you're all inside, and no. So good on Minneapolis, even still, for building an outdoor ballpark, even though they couldn't play baseball.
Yeah, and this is going to happen. This would happen to the Cannons all the time. They'd get a bunch of games postponed in the spring. They'd have to make up later. You start on the road more often. There's a way to massage it a bit. As for your Yankees, they had a good day yesterday. I don't know if you paid attention with all the hockey, but they had a double dip in Chicago against the Cubs.
Absolutely.
The Cubs were blanked in both halves of a doubleheader for the first time since the 60s. So the Yankees pitching, getting it done.
Yeah, Tanaka doing what he, so far, what he, up the billing,
and
supposed to be very good. He's been very good.
I didn't see any maple syrup on Pineda's hand today, so they weren't doctoring the ball as much, and they still won.
Hey, you do
don't
you
even need
to
cheat.
It's you just wants to win more than anybody else. So the Jays will play two today. The Yankees won twice yesterday, and for the time being, take over top spot in the AL East.
Be a big two games for the Jays. There's a lot of swing room in there. It's huge swing. You lose two, win two, split them. Standings look a whole lot different. Tampa's in trouble. Boy, they've got starters going down like flies.
Yeah, Alex Cobb went down, not expected to be as serious as they first thought. They were talking
4 to 6 weeks,
but it looks like it's shorter than that. But Matt Moore goes down. Yeah, they're in rough shape.
And I heard someone else mentioning it. When Eric Bedard shows up in your starting rotation, you know you're in trouble. Even the Rays, as deep as they are in the starting rotation, that's trouble.
You know what Eric Bedard is?
Horrible.
Jerk.
He is a jerk.
Jerk.
He might be the worst guy to deal with in the media in the history of the majors, and there's been some major red asses in that league.
And he's Canadian.
I know.
You got no reason to be a jerk.
Maybe he's a separatist, Boone.
I remember a guy from the other network. Oh, whatever. Farhan Lalji over there.
Yep.
Goes down from Vancouver.
Because he was in Seattle.
He was pitching for the Mariners. Goes down to Seattle to do a story on Eric Bedard, the Canadian pitcher, great career, all of this.
Yeah.
And Bedard wouldn't talk to him.
Nope. Like, won't talk to the media.
We're doing a story on you and, you know, how your career and all this. Wouldn't do it. Finally, the media relations people with the Mariners are like, it's a national network in Canada.
He's traveled 3 hours in a car each way.
They came down,
they'd
really, if you can just give him a bit of your time, it'd be great. It's going to look bad if we don't do it, if you could really do it. So he did it. And it was the most. They've been better off without his clips.
Jeez,
he may as well not have done it. Yeah, it's great.
And here's the thing: had a great start to his career, but when he ran into injury issues, and all of a sudden things were in jeopardy, you've got no sympathy all of a sudden because you've been a jerk to everyone along the way. How hard is it to just put on a smile and be nice, even if it is loaded with cliches?
I know. Well, ask
it
Warner.
It shouldn't be that difficult. Yeah, he mastered it by
Warner
then,
was
he?
That guy. No, he was the other guy.
That's not true. Everyone loves Rhett.
Eric Bedard and Rhett Warner, renowned as two of the most cocky, pompous, arrogant athletes.
Not true.
That ever...
I object.
...found themselves inside a locker room.
I got your back, Rhett.
Yeah, why? He brought you in a breakfast, Sandy.
Darn right. I can be bought easily with food at this hour.
The Canadian World Championship team, as far as men's hockey, is starting to come together. Dave Tippett yesterday announced as the head coach. No surprise there. He'll be joined by assistants Peter DeBoer of the New Jersey Devils and Paul Maurice of the Winnipeg Jets. And now they're going to try and put a roster together. Yesterday, Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets, Jonathan Huberdeau of the Florida Panthers, and the Leafs' Nazem Kadri added to the squad. Already there, David Perron of the Edmonton Oilers, Sean Monahan, of course, of the Flames, Morgan Rielly, James Reimer from the Leafs, Cody Hodgson from the Sabres, and Jason Garrison of the Vancouver Canucks.
Nazem Kadri in overtime!
Did I keep that? I don't know.
I hope you did. That was unbelievable.
I don't know if I kept that clip. I can't believe I wouldn't have kept that thing.
I feel like we should do some top prospects here at the playoffs.
Yeah,
because
I know.
There's some young guys. Like, I'd love to hear a story on Boone Jenner. Where's he playing?
Oh, I can't do it.
I just say, moving forward, as these series progress, it'd be nice to get someone like Joe Bowen to get in here, undo the top button, and scream a little into a microphone for us. Let us know where these kids are coming up
through
the ranks. Good idea.
Where did Boone Jenner play his...
I have no idea.
Well, you take a look and maybe we'll see.
Okay, good.
So that's the story there. The Worlds, of course, Rob Blake is entrusted with putting that together. It runs in Minsk from May 9th to 25th.
Minsk. That's Belarus. The Belarusians.
Minsk. They'll get a couple days of practice in Zurich before heading to Minsk.
You ever go to Minsk, Rhett?
He was never in Minsk.
No. They did that tour through Europe. That'd be the only way. But Minsk wouldn't have been a hot stop there.
Dave Tippett, of course, a native of?
Minsk.
Raptors something or other.
Third seed.
Darian Durant.
Brooklyn in the first round.
Signs a multi-year extension with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. After leading the club to just its fourth Grey Cup title last year. He's 31 years of age, and being the way it is in the Canadian Football League, you love your guys until they get an extension, and it's like, geez, he's 31 years old. Are we sure we should be done?
It's a lot of turn. Just cut him. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
That's the thing in pro football,
guaranteed
right?
Guaranteed contract thing. That's a bit of a fly in the ointment there. But Brendan Tamman, the general manager, says it's a win-win in that the player receives fair market contract that the Riders can afford. The team maintains the nucleus of its roster. Now, they've lost... When he talks about the nucleus, there's a number of guys that aren't there anymore. Corey Sheets, Weston Dressler. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have left, and that's just kind of the start of it. But, what, am I lying? Am I lying?
You're not lying.
They're gone.
And Jock Saunders has surfaced elsewhere too. They're gonna have to.
He's in Calgary.
Yeah. So there's gonna be a whole new looking backfield there this year.
I'm not lying.
What do you make of all these signings with no CBA done? Because they say fair market value. We don't know what the market is yet because there's no CBA in place.
Oh God, it's the CFL.
Yeah. Who cares?
It's a CFL.
Just skip the exhibition season. Don't let us miss the opener.
It's like, you know what, that fantasy hockey pool you were in the other night?
Oh, just as riveting.
It's about as serious.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about as hard to navigate. So, yeah, tonight in the, we're all over. The NHL playoffs continue tonight on four fronts. The Philadelphia Flyers take on the New York Rangers. There will be no Steve Mason in the Nets tonight. And we had old what's his name there yesterday from Philadelphia, Al Morganti was on the radio, and he was saying we're here, and as of yet, don't see any Ray Emery or don't see any Steve Mason
the
on
Rangers.
The ice.
Who picked the Rangers? I did. You didn't.
Ray Emery talking. Well, let's just go here. Craig Berube, the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, talking about Mason not being set to go in game one.
He didn't feel good. So we're just, it's precautionary. We're doing what we can to help him and do what's best. He will stay behind for treatment.
It's precautionary?
It's precautionary.
Who was that talking? I feel like
it's precautionary. As for Emery, he says, and again, he's played some hockey in his career, as you might recall. Went with the Ottawa Senators to a cup final. Was on the Chicago Blackhawks team that made some serious noise and actually won a Stanley Cup recently. Talks about the experience that he has and feels just fine being in the spot he's
in. I take everything as a learning experience, you know. So, you know, you learn from successes, you learn from failures as well. And I've had a lot of both. So I get excited to play in these situations, and especially playoffs, especially, you know, with a group like this.
There you go. So that's Ray Emery, who will be the starter for the Flyers tonight.
Also, one other note, in Monte Carlo at the Rolex Masters, Milos Raonic off to the fourth round, the quarterfinals, as he beats Tomi Robredo in Spain.
But we're talking about the NHL playoffs tonight. That was the first of four games.
My apologies. I looked at the clock and figured we were trying to get out of here.
No, Chicago's in St. Louis. In the second game, where there's four games tonight, so the Rangers taking on Philadelphia, who will not have Steve Mason. Elsewhere, St. Louis will take on Chicago. Minnesota is in Colorado, And that great battle between the San Jose Sharks and the LA Kings, a late start that goes at 8:30.
Monte Carlo.
And some fantastic tennis stuff that Pinder told you about a minute ago. Stephen Brunt, 7:20, Ask Rhett, 8:40, Eric Tkachuk all on the way as well. Mike Moore, general manager of the Calgary Hitmen, who bid adieu to their head coach yesterday, Mike Williamson. So we'll talk about the new coaching position that is suddenly available with the Hitmen. Right now, 7 o'clock, Warner is coming up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.